Hey everyone, welcome to tonight's call. Whoops, there we go. So what we're talking about tonight is 10 instincts that can sabotage your weight loss. And it's going to hop right in here. This is actually from a book I just read, super duper book. I loved it. It was called Factfulness. Now, it really had nothing to do with weight loss at all. And it was really much more about kind of how to see the world. However, I thought that it was pretty cool, all the stuff they were saying. And as you can imagine, I kind of always see things through a lens of weight loss and health anyways. And so the instincts, he goes through 10 instincts that kind of cause us to see the world incorrectly. And so I thought I would kind of transfer that into 10 instincts that can sabotage our weight loss, because it's these same instincts we have. Now, these are, in the past, I have called, what we're using is the word instincts here. I have used the term cognitive biases. but they're the same thing. They're basically these unconscious, the way we're wired up, you know, evolutionarily, to see things. And so again, becoming aware of them can be really helpful. So, you know, basically they're kind of like the mental gremlins that lurk in the back of our minds, and they're just there. You know what I mean? So, again, the first step really is kind of become aware of them. That's what this is all about. At the end of the day, you're not changing these instincts. You know what I mean? Like, they're kind of hardwired into you, but by becoming aware of them, and I'll share with you a couple different strategies to reduce their impact. And again, the key thing really, the awareness is so important, because sometimes if we never question these things, I don't know, we just kind of go along, you know, we get trapped by not questioning, if that makes sense. And so kind of bringing some attention to these things, hopefully it'll put a few light bulbs on for you. And so again, you're not going to change them. You're not going to stop these things. However, you can become aware of them. And when you feel a certain way, when you feel kind of negative, when you feel discouraged, when you feel depressed about things, you can bring this awareness into the conversation in your head, and hopefully allow yourself to feel a little bit better. So let's kind of hop right in here. So the first one, the number one that he talks about, is the gap instinct. And basically this is the instinct we have to divide things into two distinct groups with an imagined gap in between. So let me just even preface this by saying, I think what you'll find is a lot of these instincts really, so we talk about, well, why do they serve us evolutionarily? Remember that your brain is always looking to conserve energy. And so we kind of make these instincts, these cognitive biases are, you know, are really things to save us time. You know what I mean? So again, it's very difficult. Well, let me get specific here. So how does this affect weight loss? Basically, a lot of times we can get caught in the mindset of, there's what weight I'm at now, and then there's my goal weight. Okay, so that gap instinct shows up in weight loss in that way, that we only think about where we're at and the ultimate goal we want to be. And so this can create some challenges, right? Because we can, if we only think kind of this black, white, binary type thinking, that when we're in the middle of it, you know, and again, during the weight loss phase, most of that time is in the middle, right? Ideally. You know, it's going to limit how much success we feel, right? So for example, if you wanted to lose 50 pounds, you know, if you'd lost 20 pounds, by just defining it as where you started and where you ultimately want to be, it can diminish what you feel like you've accomplished so far. Okay, so recognize that you want to have shades of gray here. And again, it really kind of, I'm just going to put all these out here, leads to all or nothing thinking, because you're either a failure or you're successful, you know? And so again, this stuff here is not so cut and dry. I just want to be clear about this. These are just things that can show up sometimes. And so I want you to just, when I bring these up to you, kind of just bounce them off your own experience. Are they relevant to you? You know? And so they can cause us to feel stress again, because sometimes if we just think in terms of where we started from and where we're ultimately want to be, and we don't really feel the success along the way, that again leads to stress. And we're looking to minimize the stress any opportunity we can. And so this is one way to do it. So a couple ways to resolve this instinct here. Again, relax and take a deep breath. You'll notice that in a couple of these, simply because we get locked in sometimes to thinking in a certain way. And so when we want to break that, again, kind of that break state, technique is we want to break ourselves out of our typical ways of thinking. And so again, when you're going to use this is when you find yourself being frustrated, feeling discouraged, when you kind of find yourself in a negative emotional state, that's when you want to kind of run through some of these instincts, just be like, am I doing any of these? You know what I mean? And then again, you know, add some of the solutions to it. And so another solution to this is to realize that, you know, really your whole weight loss process is a process of gray, right? It's not a black and white thing. And so ultimately your ultimate success of getting to your goal weight is really the accumulation of small wins, you know? And so this is what I mean, because sometimes we look at it, again, it doesn't make sense when we really think about it, like obviously we know it's a pound at a time, but in our minds, we start to chunk it up and it feels like, I just want to get to my goal weight. You know, we start thinking in 10 pound, 20 pound chunks, and that's overwhelming, right? It's very difficult to do, but the reality of your success is it's the accumulation of small wins. You know, it's consistently following the habits and adding them into your life. It's consistently making the right food choices of what to put into your body and being able to say no, you know, to other things. And that accumulation of good behaviors turns into, you know, a pound here, a pound there, right? A couple pounds there, a couple pounds here. And it's a process, you know, and it's an accumulation of small wins. All success is. And so again, our brains can chunk it up and see just big chunks of success. But the reality is that it's always an accumulation of small wins. And so I say it to you because again, our brains just naturally just do this gap thing where they just think about the start and the end point. But you want to realize that really you're going to spend a lot of time in that middle part and, you know, appreciate the slower nature of it sometimes. And again, you know, keep focused on the long term. Keep thinking about where you're going and realize that the journey there is kind of corny, but, you know, the first steps, you know, I'm messing up the thing in my head, but it's just a, you know, a 1,000-mile journey is just a, you know, 1,000 steps, you know, again, not exactly, but you get the point of what I'm trying to say. There is no 1,000 miles. It's the accumulation of each step. And so it's the same thing here. If you have 50 pounds to lose, you don't lose 50 pounds. You lose a pound at a time. Okay. So that can be helpful and make you feel a little bit better and reduce some of the stress that can come with it. Instinct number two is the negativity instinct. And so you've heard me mention this before as a negativity bias. And, you know, this is simply just the tendency to notice the bad more than the good. And again, evolutionarily, this serves us because, again, your survival would be served better by being negative, right? By being paranoid. You hear that noise in the bush and to assume it's a tiger as opposed to, you know, a little bird, it's going to serve you better to think it's a tiger and get the hell out of there, right? So it's that simple. But we get into our modern life and it can be a real challenge, you know, especially when it comes to weight loss, because we're going to always make mistakes, right? So you've heard me say that a million times. Getting to your goal weight and maintaining it is really not about being perfect, right? So what I'm saying is you're always going to screw up. And so if you always magnify the mistakes and minimize the good things you do, then you're going to be setting up, you know what I mean? You're setting yourself up for a real hard time, right? So again, you can't let your mistakes overshadow your successes, you know, because you're always going to make mistakes and you're always going to have successes too, right? By the way. But again, this is hardwired into us. So there's no avoiding it, by the way. But it is something to pay attention to. And so it can make us feel like failures. You know, I had a client call I did. I'm going to share this. I won't mention her name, but she goes, well, you know, I'm having a pretty good week. I'm transitioning again. She, kind of a shift in her schedule. And so she was transitioning to that and she goes, I'm doing all right. But I wouldn't say I was doing too great. And, so, you know, we talked for almost an hour and, by the end of it, she goes, oh yeah. And this past weekend I drove, you know, 8 hours to see my parents. And so, and not only that, but she drove 8 hours to your parents because there was kind of a health issue going on. And so she deleted the whole, you know, the thing that happened there was she drove 8 hours there, 8 hours back, dealt with a stressful situation while she was there, while she was working. And so she just deleted that from her experience. And so we tend to delete the positive stuff sometimes and, you know, multiply and enhance the negative stuff. And again, that's never going to change necessarily. And some of us do it worse than others, but we always want to learn to recognize that we do this and be able to kind of pull back, right? Because it's discouraging. You know, we can get into that and we can, get so good at magnifying the negative stuff or the mistakes we make, they can feel like all we're doing is screwing up, and it's just, we're never going to be able to change this. It gets overwhelming. Okay. So you really want to be careful of this. And this is I would say this is one of the top ones when it comes to weight loss. Like I said, because sometimes people, it's almost like the perfection myth. People in their minds think, well, in order to lose the weight, in order to be where I want to be, I have to be perfect. Okay. And so that's part of this whole thing. And again, you're never going to be perfect. And so if you expect you have to be perfect, then you really, again, you're really setting yourself up for failure. Okay. So what are the solutions to this? Again, you want to look for the positive, you know, absolutely. So for every negative thing you find, you know, and this is something you kind of do, it's almost like, you know, you're keeping a ledger, and this can offer a little bit of relief. But for every negative thing you kind of feel like you did, look for something positive. And again, it doesn't matter what the size is, by the way. It could be anything. Oh, I drank my water, I took for a walk, or whatever it may be. Start to look for the positive. And this applies to absolutely everyone, because again, that negativity bias really is built into us. All right. Another thing that kind of goes along with that is if you track your habits and or your results, right? So again, different people have different feelings about tracking things. But what I mean by it is this, I can't tell you how often, you know, I'll start a call with someone and they'll be feeling really down. And sometimes we'll look at kind of the objective metrics, right? And so maybe they've been tracking how much water they've been drinking, or, you know, how they've been eating, or whatever it may be. And then they can go and look at the numbers, and the numbers really offer a counterpoint to the negativity that they were feeling. Okay. So sometimes kind of tracking what you're doing, and again, or your results, you know, maybe you've lost a certain amount of weight, you've been eating a certain way. When you look at those numbers, sometimes that kind of pull you out of it. And again, you can, and not only that, but it also shows you when you can see this negativity instinct in action, that in of itself can be a pretty interesting experience. So when you're tracking your habits and your results, again, these are just objective numbers. And so sometimes it's going to be very interesting to look at those, to feel really negative, look at the numbers and be like, oh, that actually wasn't that bad. And I can't tell you how often that happens, you know, when I'm speaking with people where they think they're doing so bad. And then we talk about it and they're like, oh, you know what? Actually wasn't that bad. All right. And along with that, I'll just tell you, one of the things I like to do is I'll ask people to grade themselves, you know, give themselves a grade, you know, again, for the last week, what would you grade your eating? What would you grade your, you know, your exercising or whatever is important to you? And sometimes that can be helpful too, because again, you start to, when you think of a grade, you tend to look at both sides a little bit more. Okay. And then recognize your emotions, because your emotions are going to have a huge impact on what you're seeing. Right. So if you're just in a discouraged, frustrated, tired place, you're going to tend to notice the negative stuff more. And it's just harder to get in touch with the positive stuff. And so again, the solution, when you're looking at these things, and you find yourself in a negative state, use the break state techniques where you, okay, you know what I mean? Just kind of center yourself, take a deep breath, let go of the stress, close your eyes for a moment if you want to, just kind of center yourself, gather yourself, let go of the negativity, and just kind of enter that neutral place. And then, you know, think about whatever it is that you're thinking about. Okay. The next one, right? The straight line instinct, right? This one is a good one. So the tendency to assume our results will be a straight line. And this is very relevant to weight loss. Okay. Because I can't tell you often, and we do this. We just, again, because we think it's simplistic. Again, that's what it always comes down to. It saves us cognitive energy. But a lot of times we think, okay, well, here's my starting point, there's my end point, and we just imagine a straight line down to it. And yeah, that'd be great, right? If it worked that way, that'd be super. There's another thing called the planning fallacy that we tend to do. We tend to, when we're thinking about a lot of things that we want to accomplish, but even weight loss, the planning fallacy says that we unconsciously think of it in the best way possible, the best case scenario, right? And that's what the straight line represents. But the truth is that rarely do people's weight loss journeys down to their goal weight look like a straight line. More often than not, again, there's downward trends, and then there's plateaus where we even off. Sometimes we put a little bit of weight on, you know what I mean? Then it goes back down. So it's usually a jaggedy line with plateaus in it. What we want is a downward trend down to our goal. But again, it can make us feel bad when we hit a plateau, or if we temporarily increase our weight, Okay. Now, again, that can make us feel bad anyways, right? Because again, we would just want good results. We want to get there. But if you're expecting that it's just going to be a straight line of success, it makes the plateaus or the temporary increases feel even worse. Okay. And so, again, it's just an inaccurate concept of change. That's not what change looks like. And I can tell you this because I've seen people's weight loss charts and they almost never look like a straight line. Okay. Again, the trend is going down. But the day to day, the week to week results are usually a little bit more sporadic. Okay. And, what that can do again is it leads to extreme action sometimes. So we start to hit a plateau for a short period instead of allowing our body to kind of figure it out and give it a little bit more time. Sometimes it'll kind of kick us into some extreme action that we'll keep up for a week or two. And then the whole game's gone, right? Because after the week or two of extreme action, we just can't do it anymore. And then we're right back to the starting point. So you want to be aware of that. Okay. And so again, the solutions are kind of what I've been alluding to here, but you know, you want to recognize that they're different shaped lines of success and that your success most likely won't be a straight line, right? Because again, things happen in life. You're doing this and, you know, sometimes your eating's really clean. Sometimes it's not as clean. Sometimes you're traveling. Sometimes there's emotional stuff coming up, you know, stress at work, whatever. So life is not a straight line, right? And so your results typically aren't going to be a straight line either. And that's not a bad thing. Okay. I believe you really want to expect plateaus and temporary increases, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, when the temporary increases happen, you know, batten down the hatches if you can, that's fine. But hey, listen, sometimes these temporary increases happen because life goes bonkers. Okay. And so that it's okay. You know what I mean? As long as it's a temporary slight increase, that's just normal. That's a normal part of life. And so again, you got to stay calm with the whole thing. Stay committed and focused on the end result. But again, I think the key thing is to remember that your success, and here, reference other things in your life that you've put time and energy into to master, right? So if you think about, you know, if you work, whatever work you do, think about how you started and how much you understand it now. And if you look at that learning process, it wasn't just a straight line of, you know, of understanding. You know, if you play guitar, or if you dance, or if you do any, you know, painting or whatever, again, it's not straight lines. It's like you get it, then there's a dip, you don't understand it, then you kind of come back again. And again, it's uneven. So put that into account, because that's a much more realistic representation of what change looks like and feels like. And so if you make peace with that now, again, you're setting yourself up for success, as opposed to all of a sudden, you know, feeling like, oh God, everything's falling apart. It's not. That's just a natural part of it. The next one's the fear instinct, right? And so simply, this is when we're scared, we systematically distort how we think and see things, right? And so I bring that up because when it comes to weight loss, right, let's face it, weight loss and health can cause fear, right? Now, and again, I mean, obviously health fears, those are obvious, but even the weight loss fears can be like, oh, I'm never going to be able to do this. Right? Oh, this is too hard. Oh God, I'm never going to get this. My mom was right. My uncle was right. And so that is a level of fear as well. And it distorts our focus, right? It gets us off balance. And we don't think right. It really does affect our mindset. And once again, it really does encourage us to take ineffective actions. And so what I mean by that is that, you know this, right? It's like, I don't know, say all of a sudden you find out that you got a wedding in a month, right? Now you're scared. Oh God, I'm going to go to that. I'm not going to get the size I want, whatever. And it can kick us into ineffective actions of, I'm going to stop eating. I'm going to start working out, you know, 2 hours a day. Right. And so again, I'm not saying though, it's not, you shouldn't work out a certain amount or whatever, but you understand what I'm saying. For you, you want to start to notice when you get into those places where all of a sudden you start thinking, in extreme ways. So that's it. I'm going to stop eating. That's it. You know what I mean? And again, it's one thing to kick it up. Okay. I really want to eat clean. I want to hit my goals 100%. That's one thing. And there's another thing to take that level where, you know, it's unsustainable. You know, it's not healthy. Okay. Because if you do that, what is most likely going to happen is you'll be able to do it for a short period of time. And then you're going to have that bounce back effect where you're going to go and eat worse than when you started. Okay. So again, it's kind of the slow and steady, you know, is the turtle, right? Slow and steady, because we're thinking long-term, right? We're always committed to that long-term, setting up our system, always following it, always tweaking it, improving our lifestyle for long-term success. And so again, that's why I wanted to go over these with you, because I thought there was a lot of really good kind of ways of looking at things that sometimes can trip us into and trigger us to want to do extreme things. But again, those extreme things, if you can kind of take a step back and look at it, they feel like they're going to get good results for a week or two, but almost always they're unmaintainable. And then there's a bounce back effect where again, you know, you can't keep it up and you don't go back to how you used to be. It usually gets worse. You end up binging a lot of times, or it's hard to even think about your food at all because you're just burnt out. Okay. So we don't want to do that. We want to be aware of that. So some solutions to the fear instinct, again, relax and take a deep breath. When you feel nervous, when you feel yourself getting fearful, anxious, again, center yourself, calm yourself, right? So much of that. Again, we're managing it. You can't avoid this stuff all the time. It's going to pop up sometimes. It's hardwired into us, okay? So these solutions sometimes are just to manage it, okay? And that's the case here. We're always going to feel fearful sometimes, scared sometimes. It's okay. A lot of times it's just going to pass. You know, typically the fear stuff, it spikes. The anxiety kind of spikes and then it goes back down. So recognize that kind of pattern to it and allow yourself to kind of center yourself, relax, take a deep breath, close your eyes, just focus and get back to a neutral place. Again, you know, you recognize your safety in the moment. That sounds silly sometimes, but anxiety, panic, fear are irrational, right? And so we can literally get wrapped up in a real deep sense of fear. So again, physically bringing ourselves into the present moment, calming down, and then psychologically realizing that we are safe and we're fine right now. Those can be helpful because we just want to bring our thinking back to a neutral place so we can think more objectively, think more clearly. And again, that's what we want, is we want to make decisions from a place of calm, right? So again, where we may have this fear instinct that can kick in, again, recognize it's a spike usually, right? And then there's biochemicals being released that are creating that, but they only can be released for a short period of time. So if you can, again, awareness is always that first step, right? If you can become aware, okay, well, I'm getting fearful, I'm getting scared, panicky, whatever, it's going to pass. I've been through this before. I'm going to be fine. Connect to your breathing, calm down, and look for that calm to kind of return again. And that's where you want to make the decisions from. Because again, just simply the fear, the panic, anxiety. And so again, this is where, you know, it's like you can't stop this. But this is recognizing it, and this is very, very helpful. You know, this is cognitive behavior therapy 101 right here. And so when you recognize the emotion, when you realize, oh man, here I go. If this is a pattern for you, if you're the type of person that gets fearful, panicky, anxious, you recognize, okay, I'm starting to feel that way. And when I feel that way, I don't think clearly. I kind of think catastrophically. I think the worst case scenario stuff. And so I want to just calm down and relax. And I'm not going to think about everything I'm going to do in this state because I know how this state affects my thinking. Okay. Next one is the size instinct. And so this again, you know, we tend to get things out of proportion or misjudge the size of things. And so this is absolutely relevant to weight loss. So first off, this affects us in a couple of different ways here. So the first one is we tend to misjudge the importance of a single instance, right? And this happens both good and bad. And so what this means is sometimes, you know, we'll eat really good for a day. I mean, like right on point, you know, it was like, wow, that was perfect. And then the next day we'll step on the scale and be like, what? You, nothing happened. Or you put a couple pounds on. So that always happens, right? We all do that. And again, I've been literally training this stuff for over 50 years now, and I still do this stuff, right? I've been on my own journey for over 25 years. And it's like, I still do it where I'll eat so clean for a short period of time. I'll be like, whoa, what? You know, the results didn't happen as quick as I wanted. So recognize that happens. It also happens bad though. Okay. And so sometimes, you know, like we spend the weekend eating hot fudge sundaes and then we say, oh man, I totally blew it. You know, I totally screwed everything up. No, you didn't. You know what I mean? It works both ways. And so, you know, you have a really bad day of eating or a couple really bad days of eating. It feels emotionally like you blew everything, right? Like you put 20 pounds on. But one of the ways to kind of deal with that, and I'll just share this with you now, is to compare that to other things. So I love doing this to myself, and it helps put things in perspective emotionally. But you know, like when you've had a couple of days of eating really bad, right? And then you feel like you put all the weight back on, right? Is that you put 20 pounds on. But one of the things that's kind of funny to do in that place is It's like, say you ate really well for 2 days, right? If you ate really well for 2 days, you don't take 20 pounds off. You know what I mean? So again, we just, there's no changing this. It's just hardwired in. So you're going to always have this. So the next best step is just become aware of this kind of instinct and process going on. All right. Now the next thing though, and so I say think certain changes are going to be harder than they are, but I really should have put going to be harder or easier than they are. And so what that means is size instinct can apply to, well, okay, I want to change my eating at dinner, right? And so we can blow it out of proportion. And we say, oh my God, this can be so hard. Or not eating, okay, I want to stop eating at night. You know, I want to stop snacking at night. And our mind can go, oh my God, this can be so hard. And we make it a big, big, big thing. And so we want to recognize that we do that. And again, we want to put it in perspective, you know, and again, that works both ways. Sometimes, again, we think sometimes things are going to be easier. And so sometimes we have a concept of how much weight we want to lose, and we have a time frame or a concept of what it's going to take to make that happen in our mind. Well, that concept's great, but it's not infallible, right? Whatever your ideas of what it's going to take to achieve your goal weight and live there and how long it's going to take, those are just starting points. You can't be married to those, because if you are, again, you are setting yourself up you know, for a very tough time and probably failure. Okay, so again, it's going to take as long as it's going to take. Ultimately, that's how you have to look at it. Yeah, you have some concept in your mind, but it's most likely not accurate. I can tell you that, right? You're probably thinking of it incorrectly. And so to me, I hope that gives you a sense of peace, right? You got to stop believing every little thought you have in your head, right? And certainly the size instinct plays into this. Because again, we overestimate things, we underestimate things all the time. And it could be a problem. Okay, so again, I want you to take this into account when you're thinking about stuff. Right? That again, if we, what we think would be easier or harder, what we're basing that on a lot of times really isn't very good information. We're just basing on some idea. And so I'll give you one example of this, right? I see all the time people, you know, they're 57 years old and they go, well, I expect that I'm going to be able to lose this amount of weight in this amount of time because when I was 22, I did this and that's what I did. That's how long it took me to lose the weight. Right. And so, right, when I say it like that, you probably already say, oh man, they're going to set themselves up for failure. Your 57-year-old body is different than your 22-year-old body. Okay. So if you're referencing that experience as your time frame and how easy or hard it was for you, right, that's not going to help you. And so again, it doesn't matter what happened when you were 22, right? It doesn't matter. It only matters what's going on now. And so again, so I should put that as a solution as well. Again, compare to other things, put things in perspective and keep things relevant to right now, right? Stay in the present moment. Stop comparing it to things that happened in the past in a different time and place. Okay. Next one, I'm watching a bee fly around my office. My office roof was infested by bees while I was gone a couple weeks ago. And I mean infested, they were everywhere. So anyways, I just watched one of them get stung. All right. So the next one's a generalization instinct. And this is basically the instinct to generalize things together, right? And again, it can distort our perceptions because we group things into categories that are actually very different. And so this, again, all these are relevant to weight loss or else I wouldn't be talking about them. So two of the big ones I see is the dietary generalization, I think, are probably one of the biggest ones. And the one I see all the time now is carbs are bad. Right. And so that's a generalization that can really make things hard for you, right? Because for a lot of people that think all carbs are bad, they can't eat any vegetables or fruit. Right. So it's like they're gonna have a hard time, right, being healthy. So, again, you know, we got to be careful the generalizations we make. Other generalizations that we do, again, the exercise generalizations, I have to work out hard, right? No, you don't. And, but again, we do that. We kind of group this stuff together. Oh, if I want to lose weight, I have to work out hard, right? We group that stuff together. I'll give you another one that can be pretty damning is if we see how someone else lost weight, we say, oh, that's what I have to do too, right? So we group ourselves into a category with that person. But hey, you're your own person with your own lifestyle and situation. So make sure you don't do that because that will set you off on the wrong path very easily. And so that goes right back to the diets and a lot of the weight loss plans where they're saying, okay, this is how I did it. So this is how you're going to do it. It's goofy, right? When I put it this way, it's kind of goofy. Don't get me wrong. You can take some stuff from them, but you know, you don't want to base everything on just what they said. Okay. So we all do this. Again, we all do this stuff where we kind of lump things into categories. And weight loss, this happens all the time where we just lump all these ideas of what we have to do to lose weight. They may or may not be accurate. So again, I want you to question them, right? They may or may not be true. And, you know, again, you want to stay open to new information. You know, I went through this, you know, last year. I thought I was eating perfectly, got my cholesterol reading back and said, oh, okay. And so I got some feedback and I had to look at some of my beliefs. And again, I opened myself up to some new information and, you know, we'll see what ends up happening to it. Beware of exceptional examples. That's one of the things I'm saying. That's really the diet thing right there. Because that's when you, again, this person's like, well, you know what? I just ate potatoes and, you know, Big Macs and I lost 50 pounds. Right. And so it's, oh my God. All right. That's what I'm going to do. Right. So that's what a lot of diets are. It's exceptional examples. And the truth is there's more to it than that. We'll get to that in a moment. That's another instinct we have, but again, there's more to it. And so we want to recognize that, we just naturally do this. We simplify things, right? And that's what it's doing. Once again, all of these instincts are in service of cognitive energy and conserving it and simplifying things. And so, yeah, again, I didn't mention this, but it can keep us stuck doing things that aren't working, right? So again, we have these beliefs. Oh, I want to lose weight. I got to do this. And so, okay. So, right. One of the key ones of that one is, oh, I want to lose weight. I got to diet. I want to lose weight. I got to exercise. Because they're all lumped together. No, you don't. You don't. And if we believe that and when we stick them together and say, well, if you want that, then you have to have that. Again, it can absolutely keep us stuck, even when the evidence is right in front of us that's not working. Okay. Because again, we kind of lump them all together in our brains. The next one, the destiny instinct. Oh man. Right. This is simply, you know, the idea we're destined to be a certain way. And I think we all know how this works, you know, when it comes to weight loss. You know, this is mostly shows up in weight loss as, you know, the genetic story, right? When my genetics are a certain way. And don't get me wrong, there's a little bit of truth to that. We all kind of have a blueprint that we're working from, but there's a lot of variability in that blueprint, right? And so the problem with the destiny instinct, this idea of, you know, no matter what I do, this is who I am. This is what it's going to be. It takes all our power away, you know, simply. So we cannot believe this. We got to be careful of this. And again, it runs in all of us. Without question. So recognize when you're feeling this way. Again, we got to question that. It can cause us to lose sight of our behaviors, right? So it becomes something that, you know, maybe the behaviors are the problem, right? That's 90% of the problem. But we use the destiny, you know, kind of instinct to override that. So that doesn't matter what I do. I'm never going to get the results. Oh God, that is a kiss of death, right? You can't be saying that. And again, we all feel this on some level. It's easy, right? Again, we always want easy. It's an easy explanation. It prevents us from having to do difficult work, right? And so you can't feel like it doesn't matter what you do because it always does. Always, always, always does. The problem is sometimes it takes longer than we think, right? So the results aren't happening as quickly as we want. But again, because it's not happening as fast as when our brain goes, oh, okay, that's because it's our genetics. It's never going to work. You know, so we want to be careful of that. And so I love this. This was in the book he said, right? Remember, slow change is not no change, right? So I'm a big fan of that because, and listen, it's hard for all of us, right? We always want instant change. And then especially in our culture, it really, we're always being conditioned, you know, instant. So weight loss isn't instant. You know, long-term weight mastery is not instant typically, okay? So, you know, keep track of small changes. Again, if you track things, I think it helps you to do this because again, you have a lot of cognitive biases that are blinding you to the results you're getting. Cause a lot of times all results are small depending on how you're looking at them. And when you're going through it, when you're actively losing weight, it's a slow process because it really isn't ounces and pounds at a time, you know? And so it feels slow. It feels insignificant. It just does. It reminds me, there's a saying, right, that the people overestimate what they can do in a month and underestimate what they can do in a year. And so I think that's so perfect for weight loss because it's just not exciting to lose a pound, 2 pounds, half a pound, right? We want to lose the 20 pounds, the 30 pounds, the 50 pounds. Okay. So again, this is hardwired into us. We have to fight against it, you know, in order to get the results we want. One other solution, I'm a big fan of this one here. I think it helps, is to use percentages to think of your results so far. Okay. So what I mean by this is, you know, say you want to lose, you know, 100 pounds and you're always thinking 100 pounds, 100 pounds, 100 pounds, right? Back to the gap instinct, 100 pounds, 100 pounds. And then now you've only lost 30 pounds so far, right? And say, oh, geez, I've only lost 30 pounds. I'm never going to get to 100, right? Because 100 feels miles away from 30. But again, what you can start to say is, well, that's 30% of the way, right? So we talk about, I want to lose 30 pounds. Right. And you've lost 15 pounds. You say, oh, my God, I've only lost 15 pounds. I'm going to lose 30. Yeah, but you're 50% of the way. OK, so sometimes, again, what it does is it just reframes it and puts a different, it allows you to perceive it a little differently. And sometimes that can be pretty helpful. OK, so again, use these because this is always a play. So the single perspective instinct, again, it's our preference for single causes and single solutions. This is 1,000%. Applicable to weight loss, right, in our culture. Again, it's a simple explanation, so it works. This is what most diets are sold on, you know. There's always one villain. It oversimplifies the problem so much. And it causes to employ solutions that are too simple. Okay, I'm just not going to eat carbs. Okay, well, humans have been eating carbs for thousands and thousands of years. Also, I'm just not going to eat carbs. That's not the problem. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. Refined carbs, obviously. Simple carbs are definitely part of the problem. But I can't think, I mean, listen, if there was just one thing you had to do, wouldn't I be telling that to you? Right. It really causes lots of problems. And one of the subtle things it does as well is it frustrates us and it sabotages us in a subtle way because it makes us feel like, there's just a magic. All I need to do is just figure out that one thing. Right. Like, I mean, how many berries from the rainforest will they be able to uncover as the magic weight loss formula? Do you know what I mean? But it still works, right? Acai berries, that really, you're just going to eat acai berries and your weight loss problems are going to be solved. Do you know what I mean? You're going to drink a certain tea and you could eat anything you want and be the weight you want. I mean, come on. Do you know what I mean? It's so goofy when you really think about it. However, when you take some of the other things into account, right? The fear instinct, right? We get scared or we want to hurry things up. You know what I mean? We tend to believe those things because again, our thinking is distorted. We're not thinking right. So this idea that it's one thing that's keeping you overweight is ridiculous. And I think you're really setting yourself up for failure. And a lot of people do this and they just bounce from one thing to one thing to one thing. Oh, I just need to exercise more. I'm just going to do, it's all exercising. I'm just going to stop eating carbs. I'm just going to start eating fat. So again, it's always you know, these different one things and they don't work. You bounce on to the next one thing. That don't work. You bounce on the next one thing. Next thing you know, you know what I mean? You've wasted decades. Okay. So I can tell you right now that weight loss is not a one thing problem, right? It's a holistic approach, right? So that's why we always talk about that. So again, you know, you want to rely on the toolbox, not just the tool, right? So it's kind of a metaphor for this, but that's why we use the 8 habits, right? So we use all those habits to give you the foundation, again, physically, biochemically, biologically in your body, it helps set you up for success. But even psychologically and emotionally, it sets you up for success as well to be able to make the right food choices. Okay. So again, to that simplistic thinking, we just want to do it so bad. Right. I mean, I would love if it was just one thing. Don't eat sugar. You know what I mean? And everything's going to be fixed. Great. You know what I mean? That's all I would do. But it's a combination of things. And once again, we like the simple things. It's easy to understand, but it's just not, it just doesn't work. And so I want you to recognize this because what it does is it just leads us down rabbit holes. And each rabbit hole we end up going down, we waste time, energy, money, right? Motivation. It's hard to get all that stuff back. You know? So again, I want you to be able to recognize these things ahead of time and avoid them. That's how you're going to get the results that you're looking for. Okay. So yeah, think holistically. Again, and I hope you buy into that. I mean, I'm assuming if you're here, you do. Commit to those 8 habits. Right. Again, it's a web. It is complicated. I wish it was simple. It's just not. It takes lots of effort. It takes lots of work. It's lots of different pieces and it's a challenge. But as you consistently do them, your brain learns how to do them and then it feels easier. Okay. That's how I suggest you go about it. You know, and then finally, the Jeet Kune Do philosophy, right? Bruce Lee's philosophy. Study everything. You know, study keto, study low fat, study Atkins, study all of this stuff and their theories, and take what resonates with you and works with you and discard the rest, right? Because at the end of the day, ultimately, you're building your own one-of-a-kind unique approach to mastering your weight, okay? And so I think if you always keep that front and center, that you're the expert here, ultimately. You're putting this work in, you're trialing and error, you're testing different things out. But at the end of the day, you are creating the system that works for you. And again, use all that information out there. Great. But recognize it's never just one thing. Okay? The blame instinct. The instinct to find a simple reason or person responsible for why something bad has happened. I'm not going to lie. I've fallen into this. You've heard me demonize sugar. Again, it's not the one thing. I've demonized, the food companies. But at the end of the day, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of pointless, right? It does use up precious energy when we blame things or people or companies. Again, we're always going to do it. there's no not doing it. However, don't get caught up in it, right? Because it uses up energy. And again, it's kind of, I always like this metaphor. It's like you're given 100 units of energy every day. How are you going to spend them, right? When you think about it that way, you want to put as much as possible into the solutions. Because at the end of the day, when you've got your solution, when you've got your weight where you want it to, when you've got your lifestyle kind of mapped out and you're living it and you enjoy it, you're not really going to care as much, you know, about all that other stuff. Don't get me wrong. You'll always be mad. It's like the tobacco companies, we're always mad at them. These fast food companies, you know, I have this anger to them because I think they're killing people literally and reducing their quality of life. But I'm not blaming them for my results. You understand that? I think that's the difference here. And so you need to take responsibility for this, right? And again, it does create unnecessary stress to be blaming other people for the results you're getting. It goes back to the other thing I was just saying, like you're giving your power away a little bit when you're blaming other people for your results, right? And so again, take responsibility for what's happening with you. And again, I like the idea, look for systems, not villains. You know, even the tobacco companies, I mean, they're just big, big companies. It's usually not one person, you know what I mean, that did all this bad stuff. It's accumulation. So we've been talking about accumulation of success of small things. A lot of times these bad things are an accumulation of bad things. And so a lot of times it's not just one person who did it. It's really accumulation of a bunch of people doing kind of misguided things, right? Whatever. And again, resist finding a scapegoat. It's a way of being that's not going to serve you. It's not going to help you, right? So I just want to share that with you. And then finally, the urgency instinct, right? And this one we all know when it comes to weight loss, I've been alluding to it. It's simply the instinct that makes us want to take immediate action and feel we need to get instant results, right? Let's face it. We all feel this with pretty much everything. So again, there's no changing this. It's not going away anywhere, but it's something we need to deal with because it just, when we feel like we're not getting results fast enough, right? That's usually the feeling that happens right before we quit. Okay, it doesn't matter what I do, you know, or it's like, okay, I'm not getting the results I want. Let me do something crazy. Let me stop eating. Let me cut my calories down to 500 calories a day. You know what I mean? Let me work out, you know, every single day and hurt myself. So again, we want to be aware of that. You know, and again, the stress of it where, you know, we get so obsessed with the weight that we, ironically, the stress can literally slow the weight down, right? We start releasing all this cortisol in our body. We're not sleeping right. You know what I mean? So it could sabotage us that way as well. But yeah, the urgency instinct's always there. And so we want to recognize it and move on to the solutions, right? Relax and take a deep breath. Whew. When you feel yourself that way, right? When you feel yourself getting frustrated with the speed of things, you know, once again, you recognize it's the accumulation of small wins, and it's going to take a little while, right? And so, you know, you keep focused on the long term and demand a sustainable approach. I think the other thing too, as well, I think that really helps here is to reframe this process. I'm a big fan of using that concept of the thinking of like college. Think of it like learning another language, like really committing to learning another language or learning an instrument. You know, those things, when you start them, you have a much longer time frame and a much more accurate representation of what it's going to take to get to the goal. And I think with weight loss, because we're so bombarded with these cultural messages of, you know, oh, just follow this plan, it's really easy and fast. You know, that really feeds into this, you know, and so we really have to resist that. Again, it's hardwired into us on one level, and it's really compounded by the culture and all the marketing messages we get about weight loss and how fast it can be if we just follow their special plan. So we need to become aware of it and consistently reframe it in our mind. One thing that helps this as well, I think, is the do it once philosophy, where, because unconsciously, a lot of times people think about weight loss as something they're going to repeat over and over again in their lives. And instead, if you think about building up a lifestyle and an approach, a way of eating, a way of being that resonates with you and works for you and gets you the results you want, it's a much different process because you're building something up. A lot of people don't realize this, but unconsciously, it's very difficult to stay motivated about not being something. And that's what weight loss is for a lot of people. Their whole motivation is, I don't want to be overweight. But again, it's difficult to stay motivated by something we don't want to be. There's nothing to really grab onto there. So as often as you can, you want to keep reflecting on this as, I want to create a lifestyle and a way of being that's going to maintain the exact weight I want. And I'm going to do everything I can to figure that out. You see? And so when we think about it that way, again, we're building something, we're moving towards something. And so not only will that help with this urgency instinct a little bit, but I think it gives you a much better concept of what you're truly looking to accomplish, you know, as opposed to just not being overweight. Okay. So I hope these were helpful for you. This went on a little bit longer than I was hoping for, but I'm glad I got to share them with you. So I hope you enjoyed that. All right. Let's see. You got to say, Connie, I can say I tend to discount the successes on the wins, stay focused on the gap. This will change now. Yeah. Super, Connie. And that's exactly it, right? It's just about recognizing, you know, what we do. And like I said, so much of this specific lesson here tonight is really just gaining some awareness of it. You know what I mean? And then again, you got some solutions, but the awareness is like the majority of it, right? So that's super, super great. When I can't see the answer, I get agitated. I recognize what's going on. I get up and want to crunch on something. I'm okay if I can reach the jar of raw nuts without being distracted by a cookie. Yeah. So that's good, right? So again, right, the awareness of now you get two layers of it, right? When I can't see the answer, I get agitated. Super. So you got a two-parter. So the first step is be like, okay, when I can't see the answer, how do I want to feel? Right. And so you could actually turn into, how do I want to feel? And so what I would say is, you know, what state would be most helpful to finding the answer? Right. And that might be an interesting question to ask. And that might be, that's kind of the ultimate goal. The next one is, you know, when I get agitated, what can I do? Right. And so, okay, I calm down, I relax, and I go for the raw nuts. Right. And so you work that behavior in. And so you get kind of two levels you can approach that with. So how did you approach lowering your cholesterol? What I did is, first off, is I stopped eating eggs. And so, that's funny. That's a funny one. I didn't even realize when I got the cholesterol reading, I was like, what, how is this possible? I eat perfect. Da, 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 da. And then I took a step back, I calmed down. That was the fear instinct. When I got the cholesterol reading, I was like, oh my God. And the destiny instinct, right? You know this by now. My father died when he was 54 of a heart attack. So the fear instinct kicked in as soon as I saw the cholesterol numbers. And what did I do? I started looking for books that would say cholesterol is not even a big deal. And there's lots of books out there that say that. There are a lot of the keto guys. Cholesterol is a scam to sell you statins, so it doesn't matter. So my fear instinct kicked in. And then the next thing I couldn't see, my perceptions were crazy. So I saw I'm eating perfect. But then I realized, well, I'm eating 2-3 eggs a day, every day. And so I know I did kind of experiment 6-7 years ago where the eggs had raised my cholesterol. I got rid of them. I kicked my exercising a bit and my cholesterol went down. So anyways, long story short, is I worked through those instincts pretty quickly because again, I've been through them quite a bit with the food specific to this area. So right around that time, again, I opened myself up to new information, started finding out about beans and you know, kind of more healthier foods. How Not to Die is the book. That really changed a lot of my eating. So as I said, last year, and it's been 1 year now, I just saw my doctor yesterday, so I can't wait to get my results back and see what's going on. But so in the past year, last year was the second biggest shift in my eating that I've made since I was probably about 24. I mean, a huge shift there where I became vegetarian, clean eater. So this past year, I added way more fiber, a lot more beans. I added, again, Dr. Greger talks about the daily dozen. So I added way more vegetables and fruits into my diet, oatmeal. I eliminated the eggs completely. And so we'll see, you know, so that's how I went about dealing with the cholesterol, and I'll see what happens. Now, again, I don't know. You know, my doctor says, well, you know, hey, I don't think there's really anything that bad with eggs. Maybe just eating too many of them. Yeah, maybe. But I wanted to cut them out completely just to see, because everybody's body is different. Right. And so So by the way, but I say that the fear instinct kicked in and the destiny instinct kicked in. Oh, it doesn't matter what I do, right? Because my mind, right? The fear instinct, I'm not seeing things clearly. The destiny instinct, I'm not thinking clearly. This is happening because my dad, he died of a heart attack, and I got his body, and oh, look at him producing all this cholesterol, and here we go. That was the initial reaction. Again, I came back from that and say, oh, no, I'm eating tons of eggs. I'm not eating enough of this stuff. And so then I experiment. And so I'll see what happens, you know, and I'll take it from there. I'll let you know too. I'll let you guys know when I found out. But so anyways, that's how I approached it. But it's interesting because I just wanted to share how these instincts really do are relevant, you know, to what's going on. My late husband said he found out why hydroxycut worked. It was a super laxative and whatever you ate just passed through like lightning. Right? I would not be surprised by that because that's exactly, I can't speak that. I don't really know much about hydroxycut, but that is exactly how things are marketed. So literally they could take a laxative and sell it as a diet thing, right? They took speed and sold that as diet supplements forever. So yeah, you got to be careful, right? And again, but here's the thing. It's that one, the single perspective instinct, right? That one thing that explains it all that leads to that. Okay. And so I think as soon as you start thinking holistically and you realize it's really a web, right? There's a holistic web that's really responsible for your weight. I think when you look at things that way, you're less apt to fall into the single solution of, oh, you know, here's some speed, you'll stop eating, or here's, you know, some stuff and you just, you know, poop it all out before you can digest it, whatever. You know, I just think you're more resilient to that stuff. And I think ultimately that'd be better for you. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you have the cholesterol thing too. Yeah. So again, and I'll let you know about the eggs. Cause like I said, I feel pretty confident that, cause like I said, I experimented with this like 6-7 years ago. And my cholesterol went down, a lot. So, anyways, I will, I'll let you know, but again, who cares? Right. So it's like, it was funny though. I will say, you know, so last year when I got that, even last year, my eating was very, very clean. And so, and again, I'm vegetarian. I don't even know where the cholesterol is coming from other than the eggs. So I just have a body that manufactures more cholesterol. Now, here's one other thing on top of that. Like, listen, I don't even know. Cholesterol is really one of these things. Like my doctor was saying, there's like 40 different types of cholesterol. So it's like, you know, which kind do I have? You know what I mean? Coming down the pike, they're going to be able to really tell you which one, you know, it is and whatever. But I don't want to take any chances. You know, so for me, it's like, boom, goodbye, eggs. You know, so I experiment myself and we'll see. So, yeah, that's how it is. So, all right, everyone, cool. Like I said, this went a little longer than I wanted to go tonight, but I hope you enjoyed this. I found this stuff pretty interesting. It's a great book too, by the way. I will say this, if you feel kind of negative about the world, and it's easy to do, this day and age with all the media, this book actually made me feel pretty positive because there's lots of good stuff. There's lots of really great trends that have happened over the last 100 years or so that we never think about. And so I will say that it made me feel more optimistic about things. Like I said, it has nothing to do with weight loss. I used them all in a weight loss context, but, yeah, kind of, I'm glad you enjoyed the notes. Yeah. It's some good stuff. Right. So, yeah, if you want to pick up that book, I think it's a great one to kind of scan through, make you feel better about the world. All right, everyone, have a great night and I'll talk to y'all next week. Good night, everyone.